The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to A Game from the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me, I have a very returning intern, just for, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks?
Just this week.
Just this week is Kara, the intern.
Hi, I returned. Did everybody miss me?
As promised, she did return.
I said I was going to come back. I just didn't know what.
And we have our very own Brian, the engineer, in the booth, and our very own senior correspondent, Charles Haldi, and we'll be gingerly walking in very shortly. Our very own Hassan Godwin is, what did he say? He's having ocular regeneration surgery on Pandora. So, yeah. So, if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see us live on the web camera, high definition, right now, provided that you're listening to us right now live, as opposed to going shopping on this final weekend of the Christmas holiday of 2014. I almost said the wrong year.
It's 2013, guys. It's been wrong the entire time.
Yes, that reminds me.
God.
John Wesley Shipp, the guy who played the original Flash, met him, and he signed his poster that I had bought many years ahead of time, and he wrote the wrong year on it. So I'm like, did he do that on purpose, or was that a joke? Because, you know, it's like he's the Flash, so he's faster. So he wrote the next year on the poster.
I can make a Doctor Who joke, but I won't.
Okay.
So.
So I guess we'll just take it away with the news.
I'm fascinated with this week's news.
We always have to start off with the sad news, as we like to do. well, before I forget, the news is brought to you in part by the guys at the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official show of the Big Apple Con. They're going to have a convention celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Big Apple Con in March of 2015. The headliner will be Jason Dierdre, the original Green Power Ranger. It's going to be in Manhattan, and tickets are on sale now. I believe they're $15, so it's not bad. More information, go to www.nycbm.com. That's New York Comic Book Marketplace, nycbm.com. All right, so sad news. Let's see. Norman Bridwell, creator of Clifford the Big Red Dog, has died this week.
What?
Norman suffered from several ailments, including a recurrence of prostate cancer, but he passed peacefully with his family at his bedside. Norman wrote and illustrated more than 40 Clifford books, from Clifford and the Grouchy Neighbors to Clifford Goes to Hollywood, with more than 120 million copies sold worldwide, along with cartoons, a feature film, musicals, stuffed animals, keychains, posters, stickers, and more. Of note, Norman had completed 2 more Clifford books yet to be released. So there's still 2 more to go. And in 2012, he was quoted in an interview saying, regarding Clifford the Big Red Dog, "I said to my wife, now don't count on me being there. Count there on being more than one. This one is just a fluke. I don't know if there will ever be another one." So he just sold the first one, and he never thought he would make more than one Clifford the Big Red Dog series. He was 86. I don't mean to laugh. Go ahead, pull. There you go. He was 86. We're having in-studio wacky hijinks. So he was 86, so quite some time away from getting a letter from the president.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I will go with the big news, because I know our senior correspondent has a special interview planned for us. We can record it at the New York Con.
Right.
Winter Con, I should say.
The Winter Con,
yes.
Yeah. We were there with Marissa Jade, who we've been trying to get on the show for a while, and she is so, so busy with modeling and movies and everything. So we finally caught up at the WinterCon, And it was a quick interview because it was crazy over there. And, you know, you don't like to interview people for a long time because they're really there, you know.
They're at the con. They're working the con.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're working it. Yeah. And so, you know, it was a short interview, but said a lot of things. Found out a lot of stuff. So.
And Brian, you have that ready yet? All right. Oh, he's ready right now. So we can do the interview first, and then we'll go to the news. How's that?
That would be great.
All right. So people watching us on the webcam, you can see a plethora of Marissa Jade merchandise.
Mm-hmm. A collage. A Marissa collage.
These are the PG-13 versions.
Oh, did you see the
PG-13 version? It's fine. It's not nothing.
Nothing we haven't seen before.
Right. It's beautiful stuff.
All right, so hit the interview. This is from the WinterCon.
This is from the WinterCon. This is Charlie Saladino, senior correspondent from It Came From the Radio. I'm here with the lovely Marissa Jade in the long-awaited interview. And we're going to ask Marissa, yeah, I'll be all right, a couple of questions now. And Marissa, what's going on in your world right now that's priority?
I've been doing a lot of events throughout the United States.
Yeah, the only men's.
A lot of comic cons per se, promoting my comic book Destiny, Queen of Thieves. Very excited to know that Destiny will be made in a movie in the near future. Have a couple of things in the works as far as other movies as well, and really just the modeling.
Good. Now you have a very very. Very, very well-noted modeling career, and tell us some of the products that you worked for.
I work for various boutiques, various lingerie companies. I just did a couple of things for Guess and Nine West and Anne Klein. I guess that's about it for the past week. I really can't think past that.
I know it's the winter, and you're very, very busy, and you had time to do this WinterCon. Let me ask you, what was the most enjoyable job you ever had?
Most enjoyable job I ever had would be, I guess, filming the movies that I filmed this past year. I got to travel and meet new people and, you know, familiar faces in the industry. And I guess just as a whole, for me to travel and meet people is what I enjoy most about working. So it's not one particular thing I can actually pinpoint.
Now, tell us a little bit about this movie.
The Martial Arts Kid was filmed in Cocoa Beach. Jansen Panettiere and Catherine Newton are in it. I had fun working with them both. I wound up being one of Jansen's love interests in a scene. And the other movie that I did was The Missing Girl. It's based around a character who owns a comic book store, and one of his comic book characters come to life. I think you know what happens next.
Now, where can people see these movies, or are they out yet?
No, they will be out in 2015.
Now, if people go on your website, they'll know, you'll tell them everything about this when this movie's coming out?
Yes, I promise I'll keep everybody posted.
Okay, now, let me ask you another thing. How can people get in touch with you? How can people see you? How can people, you know, talk to you or contact you?
I do a lot of events, like I said, a lot of Comic-Cons, a lot of Wizard World events. I'm always in another city. If not, I am very big with the internet. I love Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and I do respond to almost everybody that I can in a timely manner. So you can contact me through social media at Miss Marissa Jade. MSMARISSAJAD.
Okay, I want to thank you so much for your time because I know this is crazy over here. But thank you so much, and you have to come to the show.
I will, and thank you.
Take care. Thank you, Marissa.
Bye.
You didn't sign off. You're supposed to say this is, you know, you're supposed to sign off.
Some people were coming at me with costumes I didn't like.
So that was Marissa Jade. Finally got her after.
Right. That was me. That was the next thing you hear on that recording. Yeah, she's doing the two movies and
Missing Girl with a comic book girl that comes to life.
Right, and she will let us know. Hopefully, we'll get her down here. But like I said, it was crazy, and you know, you don't want to take away too much time from them. And it was funny. I hope you guys caught that when she said she told you all the things she was doing, and then added this week.
Yes.
So
yeah,
she is really, really busy and really a lovely person. And, you know, I want to thank her a lot for that interview.
And I don't know if you had your Barbara Walters hat on, but you stumped her. You stumped her there for a second. Like, what was her favorite project? She wasn't sure. It was either too much.
Talking about that. And, you know, it was that kind of day. It was towards the end of the day.
Right.
And we were talking about that. And I was talking to, you know, and she said, you know, I couldn't. But again, in her defense, there's so many things that she does.
Yes.
Just go to her website or go, you know, to Facebook, and you'll see all the shots and stuff like that.
And you also have your picture with her on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, right. I have every, except for the 2013. I have.
Right. Because you weren't there.
Wasn't there, yeah.
Which is why and, it was a picture.
It's funny to see through the years, like the both of us, like how younger she's getting and how older I'm getting, you know. We got another shot up there. We have this one right here.
He's pointing to the artwork of her.
You can see it on the webcam. That is artwork that. She also has a shirt with that artwork on it.
Right.
I have that shirt. And one day I was going to the con, and I didn't expect to see her. And I walked in, and she was right at, like, one of the tables.
Right.
So I just, like, and we took a picture. You'll see that picture. She's, like, pointing to my shirt, like, hey, I know who that is.
Good job. Very nicely done, senior correspondent Charlie Saladino.
Why, thank you.
So let's go with the news. I guess the biggest one is for those of you who were living under a rock. Sony has planned to pull the Christmas release of The Interview. This is due to a unique set of circumstances stemming from the hack attack a few weeks back. Executives say,
"Here's the executive voice. I love this
Here
voice.
Here we go.
Those who attacked us stole our intellectual property, private emails, and sensitive and proprietary material, and sought to destroy our spirit and morale." All apparently to thwart the release of a movie they did not like. We are deeply saddened at this brazen effort to suppress the distribution of the movie and in process do damage to our company, our employees, and the American public. We stand by our filmmakers and their right to free expression and are extremely disappointed by this outcome. In light of this decision by the majority of the exhibitors to not show the film Interview, we have decided not to move forward with the planned release on December 25th. We respect and understand our partners' decisions and, of course, completely share their paramount interest in the safety of employees and theatergoers. Sony Pictures has been the victim of an unprecedented criminal assault against our employees, our customers, and our business. Those who attacked us stole our intellectual property, private emails, proprietary material, and sought to destroy our spirit and morale, all apparently to thwart the release of a movie they didn't like. The comedy, we stand by our filmmakers and their right to free expression and are extremely disappointed by this outcome. Whew, that's a lot of stuff that they have.
You sound like they speeded up the tape.
Oh, because it was the same part. They said the same thing twice.
Right.
So, yeah, it's gotten really crazy about what happened.
I think it's terrible. I think somebody in Korea, the hacker, should be slapped around. You know, extensively. It's you know, lighten up, really.
It's because North Korea is really sensitive. When they first released the trailer in theaters, it was even before the trailer, when information of the movie was going around, Kim Jong-un said that if they release the trailer, he'll send bombs to the U.S. He'll bomb us. And when the trailers came, I was like, okay, I'm waiting for them. Where is it?
You know, it's really ridiculous. We're the United States of America. I mean, I know we're worried about the safety of people, which we are. But to have somebody, you know, just outright say that. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, wasn't, what was the movie where, I can't remember, where the bomb falls on, what was he, Saddam Hussein or something in a movie? Where he's sitting at a pool, he's lounging at a pool, and a bomb falls on him.
Oh.
You remember that movie? I can't think of it. But
we're going to have to look it up.
Lighten up. It's all, you know.
Well, Obama,
Do it to our presidents. We do, you know.
Obama even commented on it. He said, if they're going to react like this to something satirical, imagine how I'm...
ad-libbing,
yeah. Imagine what they'll do if they released a documentary, if someone in the U.S. released a documentary about them.
Yeah, but it's you're threatening us. First of all, they're threatening us by saying they will do something that'll harm people, and right away that's conspiracy.
I'm of two minds. I can see both sides of the argument.
From
one side. The companies that are, which is corporate America, and obviously it's all about movies, about making money.
Mm-hmm.
The cost, if something had happened, would have been devastating to Sony.
Which is
so like, well, all right, so let's cut our losses. But then on the other hand, you know, freedom of speech, all that stuff that we stand for, like, well, you can't do that. So I kind of see both aspects of the situation.
I say kudos to Sony. Because if they would have took the attitude, oh, we're showing it, you know, this is America, blah, blah,
yeah,
and stuff like that, and something did happen.
Exactly.
It would be bad. So they did the right thing. But what I'm saying is we have a conspiracy charge here, you know, take an F-16 or whatever plane we have now and go drop the bomb on him while he's at the pool.
Was that Hot Shots? I don't know.
I remember
the scene.
Yeah.
That happened in, but I can't think of the movie.
And by the way, that was satirical. Go take an F-16.
Yes,
they'll start hacking into my computer at home. Kill you and all your family. Signed, unsigned.
It is kind of a weird, kind of a gray area that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And Sony immediately was like, oh, we're not going to do it. But then the backlash hit Sony. And then they're like, all right, it wasn't us, really. It was the movie theaters that wouldn't play it, so we couldn't play it. So that was kind of weird how they kind of made a stand and then backed away because of the way the social media is right now. This reminds me, nobody remembers this. I've been telling this story for the past week, and nobody remembers this. Maybe our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladin, will remember this movie. Do you remember a movie called The Pope Must Die?
Oh my God!
Finally, there's
no.
thanks, appreciate that.
No, I do remember. I don't know.
Back when I was a youngster, it was unprecedented to me that there was a movie coming out, and it was called The Pope Must Die. It was in the news that, you know, it was a wacky, stupid comedy about either the Pope had got replaced and they wanted to kill the guy who replaced the Pope. Or they wanted to kill the Pope and they put somebody in his place. One of those stupid things, right? Wacky comedy called The Pope Must Die. The church went after it. It was a big controversy. And it was so big that they made them change the title of the movie. So at that early age, I was like, wow, how can you make a movie and then change the name? Sure, they only put a T at the end, so they called it The Pope Must Die It. But that was the resolution. But they did it, and it blew my mind that happened way back when.
I would have called it The Pope Must Meet His Boss.
So and because of that whole controversy, I saw that movie, and it was the worst movie ever. It's like if they hadn't done none of that, it would have been gone and lost forever from my memory, as it's been from everybody else's. But it's just one of those crazy, crazy things. Another one is The Naked Gun, the opening of The Naked Gun. If you remember when Leslie Nielsen fought all the bad, quote-unquote, bad guys.
Right, exactly.
And they did say that they were going to bomb any theater in their countries that played that movie. So they just cut the opening off. It didn't really change much in the movie. So I'm like, all right, I can see that because that's them over there. They can dictate what they want over there. But coming over here is kind of a unique thing, which probably really hasn't happened except for... The South Park. There was an episode of South Park where they were going to have a drawing of Muhammad.
Yes.
Yes. And they're not allowed to have any depictions of Muhammad drawn. So they were gonna bomb Comedy Central.
Yeah, of course.
What they did was they had the character and they slapped a big black block where it says censored.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the character looks. It's just censored. Right. That's the joke.
That's actually one of my favorite episodes.
So it's just so weird how we get from that to here.
Well, I mean, I just am so amazed at that whole thing with the Muhammad thing. And, it's just amazing. I'm not for it, against it, whatever. But the thing that catches my mind is when that teacher from England was teaching in a Muslim country, and she had all her kids, and they got a teddy bear. And she asked the kids, what do you want to name the bear? And the kids said, Muhammad.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
So they named the bear Muhammad. They wanted to kill her.
I remember
all
that.
These Muslim radicals wanted to kill her.
Yes.
They wanted to shoot her. There was crowds in the street with guns.
Yes.
I think they arrested her. They wanted to hang her. They wanted to... finally, I think England came in and got her back to the...
Right, yeah.
You know,
that was a couple years ago.
It was like, it's just, you know, you...
But once again, all that is that, you know, that's over there. So, you know, they kind of, it's kind of like, you know, it's a little different, but having someone else from somewhere else say to us,
we can't do it.
That's the weird
thing.
And it's a gray area.
We have a thing in this world called freedom.
In this country.
And this
See, that's
country,
the thing.
Right, freedom. So now you have somebody from over there who needs to get another haircut, another hairstyle, because I'm telling you, looks like a bad mushroom. Anyway, he has the gall to say to us. I mean, that's infringing on our freedom. And
yes,
that's gets me really aggravated.
It's a gray area. It's a very gray area.
Not a gray area for me, but
it's black and white for
We'll say it's a gray area while I'm on the radio. But come and talk to me on the streets.
Right.
But you know, with like the technology, the way technology is going, that movie will eventually be uploaded on the internet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I am completely sure. So hopefully it'll be a funny movie. That's my concern. Like, all this trouble for a terrible movie.
And then I was thinking.
What are you thinking quickly? Because
we're going to take a
break.
Very quickly, yes.
Yes.
I was thinking, wouldn't this be great if this was all
a publicity stunt?
Not publicity, but it happened, but then Sony's taking it to the next level. You know, like they're saying, ooh, and it's like the Amityville Horror, like, you know. I'm sure. That is going to be box office record when it opens.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure.
They're using it as a distraction to cover up the Spider-Man issue.
So we're ready for our break there, Ryan. We'll be right back with Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Back to action. Yeah.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, and our returning intern, Kara Frank.
Former intern.
When you're in the studio, you become an intern again. It's like, once an intern, always an intern.
Okay. An unpaid intern.
Yes.
A lowly unpaid intern.
But this week, we have a special guest on the phone. He is the founder, not the founder, he is the head right now of the Comic Artist Guild. Say hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going?
Hi, what's up, Mark?
We are doing quite well over here. You were on the show, I think it was just around the time of the New York Comic Con, so that was a couple months back, right?
Around July or August.
Oh, that was the summer, the special edition. Yeah, okay. So what has been going on with the Comic Artist Guild and yourself between back then and now?
Well, for the Comic Book Artist Guild, to remind those who may not have heard the last show or anybody just joining your show, the Comic Book Artist Guild is a networking organization. We bring creators together from all levels, from brand new to the industry, to the field, to industry veterans who have actually worked for the big guys like Marvel and DC. We bring them together to learn, grow, and produce work together. It's all about, you know, getting more material out there. And the big thing that we have coming up is the third edition of our what's become our flagship book called Iconic. Now, Iconic is an all-ages anthology that takes our own twists on well-known public domain characters and historical figures and just mashes them up and twists them around and gives a whole new take. The goal of this book is to not only get kids into reading comics, but also into reading, period. So we have a lot of cool stuff coming up in this new one, which will hopefully be out by the end of January. This book, we're going to have some cool things like The Headless Horseman in Outer Space. We're going to have The Wizard of Oz crossing over with Frankenstein. We have the continuation, The Legend of Billy the Kid. And even Caroline Herschel's, the first female to be paid for her contributions to the field of science. So we got some cool stuff coming up in that one.
All right, so I have the one that popped in my head is the Headless Horseman in Outer Space. I can see him, the head floating around, or with him like holding in his hand. Does that happen anywhere in the book?
Not so much floating around, but I will say that the artist who did that, Stanley Chu, has done a tremendous rendering of that character. It went even beyond the writer's wildest imagination. The writer for that one was Patrick McAvoy, and he was very impressed with his work. Stanley did that for us after less than a year of joining us, and out of that story, those two have formed a new creative relationship with each other to work on other things. So they pretty much exemplify what the group is about.
So it's just a kind of a get-together, and then to not only bring people together, but to help them in every way, shape, and form to go out on their own.
Of course. That's the whole point of networking. You find people to help you work on your projects. You help them work on their projects. And maybe if you're lucky, you'll get a long-lasting relationship that's mutually beneficial.
Does the fact that today's day and age of the social media, does that help or hinder this type of thing?
Social media is really a double-edged sword. The reason the Comic Book Artists Guild has monthly meetings in our dense chapter areas, such as New York City, Connecticut, and Massachusetts, around the greater Boston area, is because when you get a bunch of creative people together in one space, there's just this kind of energy that you can't duplicate anywhere else. You feed off each other's creative energy, you get ideas freely flowing, and a lot of cool stuff happens. And, you know, it's not always just working, too. It takes your mind off the work a bit because, you know, you start going off on tangents, talking about other things, your favorite movies, TV shows, what you like in the comics that you're currently reading, what you would do different. And that also leads all the way right back around to the creative stuff. Now, the social media, it doesn't quite duplicate that, but what it does allow is people that could would ordinarily be isolated from each other to find each other. So that's why Comic Book Artists Guild tries to have an online presence. We're hoping to get a greater online presence within the coming year. But right now, we're on Facebook. We have Facebook groups that you can search and find us by typing in Comic Book Artists Guild on there. We have one for the main group, and we have one specifically for our Massachusetts area members and onlookers to interact. So it works both ways. But you really cannot duplicate getting together with people, he says as he talks at a radio show on the phone.
So do you get to wear, like, you know, super cool hoods and have, like, a secret meetings, a secret handshake and stuff? Or is it kind of all the way out in the open?
No, it's all the way out in the open. We welcome anybody to come check us out. We usually post the information on where the meetings are going to be on our website, comicbookartguild.com. They can also find out by signing up for our newsletter, by sending an email to CAG membership, that's C-A-G membership at gmail.com, and signing up for our newsletter. We'll send that out every month, once a month. It has lists our meetings, where they'll be, our upcoming projects, our upcoming conventions, and all that other fun stuff.
Now, I know for a fact that you also do, speaking of conventions, you do something important for people who normally can't afford to have their own table. You also have rotate people with your stuff on CAG, right?
That is correct. One of the main benefits of CAG is that we team up. It's a big collective. We put our resources and skills together so that we can not only produce work, but at conventions, we can split the costs of getting a table at a show and allowing people who wouldn't ordinarily be able to afford it to be able to exhibit at a show and be there and get themselves out there. Because, as you know, prices keep going up on these shows, especially as the shows get bigger and better. You still got a lot of affordable little shows, but, you know, you want the big ones as well. And that's where CAG comes in handy. This past New York Comic Con in October, we had a couple of brand new members at our table for the very first time, and they did very, very, very well. They really cleaned up house. So it works out.
Yeah, I was, last time you, I thought that was such a great idea, and I thought it was really great of you guys doing that, but it's a phenomenal idea, and it's sort of like the Beatles with their Apple. You know, nobody has to beg to get a recording contract. Well, nobody has to go bankrupt to get a table at a con, which is, you know, kudos to you guys.
Well, that's what we try to do. We try to alleviate some of the strain. I mean, you don't always make your table back, but the point is to get something back of your investment. It's always an investment. It doesn't always pay off, but it pays off in other ways besides monetarily. And that's true for anybody, even if you get your own table.
Some of our listeners may not even totally understand how difficult it is to get a one book made. I mean, that alone in itself is an accomplishment, especially if you're doing it on your own. But if you're working with other people to get it done, it makes it such a more easier process. And people with like minds and creative process, it does such... You guys provide such a great service, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you. That's what we try to do. We try to educate. We run things, we run it as an organization, but we also try to run things as the real comic industry would be run. So it follows the business model to try and get them ready for when they go out and get their own gigs at these publishers. So this way, we try to keep it casual, but not too casual, so that we're doing them a disservice. By the time they have to try and meet a deadline, they don't, and then they wonder why they get thrown off a book.
So you treat them a little bit like the corporate world. So at what point do you screw them over and take all their money?
Hopefully never. That's not what we're here for. We help ideas grow. We help each other grow. And everybody here runs. So far, we've run on the honor system, and it's worked out pretty well. Nobody here has stolen anybody else's ideas, and we're all very supportive of each other's work.
Now, I know, Chris, you also want to mention you had a blog going on.
Yes, I do. Since the last time I talked to you guys, I've become what I like to call a Saturday morning historian. I don't know how you guys were growing up, but I'm sure that Saturday mornings, you probably got up early to watch your cartoons for most of the morning. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you may recall that a few weeks ago, there was a big announcement that the CW ended their long-running Jetix block.
Yeah.
Vortex, sorry. It ended their long-running Vortex block. Now, that's a very big deal because that's the end of Saturday morning cartoons
forever.
On network television.
Yep.
Forever.
And the new generation has no idea on how lucky they are to have access to the cartoons that they do as much as they do. Because the only time you could watch cartoons was on Saturday morning network TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in trying to keep that feeling alive, I've started my own little blog that kind of spawned out of a Facebook group I started called Saturday Mornings Forever. Now what this blog does, it chronicles as much information as possible about all the shows that ran on Saturday morning, as well as throwing little tidbits out there like some breakfast cereals that you may have enjoyed while watching, and some cartoons you may have seen while waiting for your show to come back on. It gives you the full Saturday morning experience, or at least tries to. It helps you relive some of those memories and your favorite shows. And, in some cases, some people have told me, introduce them to new shows they didn't even know existed.
Mm. The thing I used to like about those Saturday morning cartoon shows is I so used to look forward. It was like bittersweet. You had to go back to school in September, but that's when the new cartoon lineup came out, you know? So, that's my memory. It's like just loving Saturday mornings.
My actually favorite memory from Saturday morning cartoons is when, now this is going back, I'm a 90s kid, I grew up on Kids WB.
Going back in the 90s?
Going back in the 90s. Man. Yep.
My back just started to hurt for no reason.
That's a little beat there.
I grew up on Kids WB, and my favorite time for Kids WB is when they had their Christmas specials, and they had this thing called the Holiday Sock Party every time.
Right.
And It's really weird, but it was so good. It had like Jackie Chan Adventures, Pokemon, Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, Powerpuff Girls when Kids WB was on there. And that was a lot of fun for me. When December started rolling in and they were gearing up, that was my favorite time for Saturday morning cartoons.
So the census over here is you are absolutely right about, you know, the Saturday morning thing. We all loved it.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was the time for you to unwind as a kid,
right,
in between getting up and going out to play, get your mind off school. And it was the one day a week we didn't need the alarm clock to wake up early.
That's exactly right, because I remember as a kid, I could not get up any other day except for Saturday morning on time.
Saturday morning to watch the cartoons.
Because it's cartoon time to get up. Time for school, no.
And it was so funny because I used to watch my cartoons which I'm not going to even tell you what they are because they're...
I probably watched them.
Beanie and Cecil?
No, yeah, but a lot of them were like silent and black and white. Can you imagine cartoons in black and white?
Oh, I was thinking Rocky and Bullwinkle.
But anyway, the thing I was trying to say is the Saturday morning cartoon was such an important part of everyone's life is that it's that like when I had my child... I would get up, my wife at the time had to work on Saturdays, so I would do band gigs on Friday nights, and I'd be like devastated, but thank God for Saturday morning lineup, because they had Popples, they had My Little Pony, they had Jem, and my daughter loved them, and she was so good, she would sit there, you know, and watch them, which gave me a chance to just relax a little more. So it went down the generations, and it's such a sin they cut it out.
Well, those are the kind of memories I'm trying to invoke with this blog.
Right.
That's the feeling I'm trying to keep alive.
So what shows did you, on your research, come across that you probably didn't even remember? Because I'm sure there were some shows that didn't even last, you know, more than 1 year, a couple months. back in the day?
Actually, most of the Hanna-Barbera shows didn't last more than a season. Hanna-Barbera and Ruby Spears, they usually were one and dones.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, there are very few shows that I haven't heard about. I haven't watched. I've watched the majority of them, but there are a few I haven't watched, but I've heard of. There is an interesting one that came up that I didn't know existed, and that I'm having a hell of a time trying to find information about. It's called Super President. It was made by the Patty Freeling Enterprises in 1965, and was basically what it sounds like, a super-powered American president. And the only information that I can really find out about this show so far is that it was entirely despised. Not just by audiences, but by the people who made it.
Wow.
So this program was so reviled, everybody has done everything possible to try and erase it from existence. So that's a show I'm looking forward to getting a chance to cover if I can ever find the information on it.
So now you're more curious about it because everybody hates it, right?
Exactly.
Isn't that kind of anti? It's just reverse psychology on you now.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Saturday morning cartoon show?
Well, that's the thing about me. I never have just one favorite, but I do have a ton of favorites. You know, like the old. I got a lot of the old standards: the Real Ghostbusters, Garfield and Friends, Gem and the Holograms. A few things older, a few things newer. You know. A lot of shows are just good, and there are a lot of shows that are not as good. But they're all my favorites. I can't really just pick just one.
So is it a requirement that it has to have aired sometime on Saturday morning to be a part of this? Because there are cartoons that used to air. If I remember, in New York, they used to air some cartoons on weekdays, like around 3-4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the Disney afternoon.
I was thinking about when Inspector Gadget used to air. That was on Channel 5.
Yeah, there was a whole slew of that going on for years. In the morning before, you know, right after, like when TV was young, and you finish, they would open the thing with the Star Spangled Banner, and then there would be some sort of farm report, I don't know why. And then there would be these silent cartoons that were on, and then followed by, you know, a morning show someplace. And then you had your lunchtime cartoons. And, you know, Officer Joe Bolton with the Three Stooges, Captain Jack McCarthy with Popeye. And, you know, anyway, and it went on for years like that.
So,
just for the sake of sanity, I'm keeping my focus limited to programs that had original episodes on Saturday mornings. Because I don't have an exact count, but in my informal count, I have just shy of 1,000 programs that fit that criteria so far.
Yeah.
In the early days of Saturday morning television, especially in the 50s, a lot of networks just reran programs from during the week in those time slots. And then gradually they started introducing original shows, you know, like Captain Kangaroo and Sherry Lewis. And then they would rerun a lot of their primetime stuff in that time slot before realizing what kind of market they had on Saturday morning and committing to doing completely new original programming. And by the time the late 60s came around, it was all new stuff on Saturday.
So we have about 5 minutes to go. So do you have any other websites you want to promote? Now's your time.
Well, let me give you the web address for this one. The blog you can find at SaturdayMorningsForever.blogspot.com. It's updated every Saturday morning, except for the next couple weeks because I'm on a holiday break. But it'll be back January 19th with all new entries.
How dare you take a holiday?
Hey, it's the holidays. You gotta take a holiday. You'll be back January 19th with all new entries. Once again, updated every Saturday morning. When else? And Comic Book Artist Guild can find at comicartguild.com. And you can sign up for our newsletter at cagmembership@gmail.com.
All right, so Chris Buckner, head of the Comic Artist Guild and the Saturday Mornings Forever blog, do you have any final thoughts for us?
those of you out there who grew up on Saturday mornings and have kids, buy some DVDs and introduce your kids to some good programming, because the stuff they have now sucks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Charlie, you have a final thought for us?
Just I think it's a great job that Chris and the group is doing, and just carry on with that. And my next final thought would be, everyone have a Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, whatever holiday you celebrate, have a happy one and safe one.
Kara, since you're here, what's your final thought for us?
Thank you, Chris, for bringing joy back to the Saturday morning cartoons that the younger and newer generation can experience. I will definitely check out your blog. I'm very fascinated. As for and Comic Book Guild, good for you. Keep working hard, and everybody. And for the listeners, have a happy holidays. If you don't celebrate Christmas, go get some Chinese food, and happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever the case may be. So bless everybody, friends, family.
My final thought is, first of all, thanks, Chris, for being a guest on our show. You're always welcome to come on, and you always have such great things throughout the times that we've known you. I mean, I've known you for many, many years.
And about 10 years now.
Yeah, and it just keeps on getting better and better. So best of continued success with that. Also, I wanted to mention quickly, because Charlie, and for anybody watching on the web camera, there's a box of cannolis in front of us, because Charlie and I had a bet last week.
Those are not cannolis. Those are cannoli cookies.
Cannoli cookies. And Charlie and I had a bet this week, last week, about a cosplayer. And so he said that he would bring me some food if I was correct, which I was. I want to point
that
out.
He was correct, yes. And the minute I saw that he was correct, I went, dope! You know, and I had a dope. But we also like to thank Marissa Jade for that interview,
yes,
and all that good stuff, and enjoy the cookies.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB, which is, we are the official show of the Big Apple Con. If you like this show, you can listen to us on our archives, which will be up in a week or so, on our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and follow us on Facebook and all the other social media stuff that we have. And I know we'll be coming on soon to the iHeartRadio app, so we'll be on that very soon. Charlie, go ahead.
Also, I hope everyone watched the Magic Garden special an hour before our show. And it's going to be replayed, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And when is that going to be?
2 hours ago.
2 hours ago. All right, well.
It was in succession, 3 years.
Oh, okay, there you go. All right. There you go.
So we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.